Again, welcome back. We watched stuff 83, special pre-Christmas episode. I was going to say holidays, but I don't think Hanukkah's at the same time this year. But anyways, I'm Jeremy. Shahid's on the other end. What's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much. Hope you guys are enjoying this holiday weekend. And something that I didn't bring up, it was something that was kind of unique that happened to me last night. I want to brag, like a little humble brag.
Okay.
So, you know, Instagram, I worked out. I did my usual Instagram posts, went to sleep, didn't think anything about it. And then I woke up, you know, you get your likes and your follows. So I got one follow. It was like, I got a like and a follow. And I'm like, that name's familiar. And it was like some fitness, like she's like a fitness personality. She got like 1.5 million followers.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, I was like, I wasn't expecting that. I was doing my whole Ron Burgundy thing. Like an anchor man, he's doing the bicep curls at work. It reminds me of Kevin talked about his idiot intern.
Oh,
yeah. He used to do that knucklehead stuff. So beyond that, getting a speeding ticket and my pipe bursting. Other than that, the week's been fine. Payday's tomorrow, and I have no bills. So,
well, yeah, payday—that's next Friday, and I got bills. So that money's already spoken for. And real quick, Hanukkah actually begins on Christmas Eve, December 24th.
Yep.
Or the first day of Hanukkah shares the same day. And then was it always that way? Not doing always, a quick thing, but I always thought Hanukkah was earlier or after Christmas.
I thought it was too. I think maybe it's like how our calendar is, where it moves.
Okay.
So, because normally I always thought it was before Christmas. But it's funny you brought up Christmas with our job. Like, normally, like, you know, holidays, like, double pay, extra pay. But it's weird because this is the first year I can remember that Christmas and New Year's on Sundays.
Yeah.
So how they handle that is, like, they observe holiday is the day after. So a lot of people had set their schedules up saying, I work Sunday, get that extra pay. Almost realized they won't get boned because it was like, well, you work in a holiday, but it's not technically the holiday.
No.
So they work Christmas, not get the extra money, and miss out on Christmas. So luckily, the president, you know, the current president, had he made like a change. Basically, like if you work the actual day or the day after, one or the other, you get the holiday pay.
Oh, nice. Well, that's how it should be, because that's what I'm getting. Like, I have Monday off, and we get paid for it. So,
yeah, but it wasn't always like, I know it normally doesn't come up, but last time, like July 4th, 2 years ago, I remember I worked the 3rd. And I got the holiday pay because that was the observe day. People who work July 4th didn't get squat because it was on a Saturday.
That just seems like common sense, but that's not the world we live in. That's not the world we live in. So, anyways, let's go. Nope, we're going to stay positive.
Yeah, we're going to go to a different world.
Which one are we going to?
A galaxy far, far away.
He's obviously talking about Rogue One. By now, okay, this is something one of my friends who actually listens to the show got on me. We talk spoilers every single show. You better have seen what we're talking about.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. We will be talking about a movie that's been out since last Thursday.
Yes.
And this show is being done on a Wednesday. So last time, spoiler alert.
Yes.
Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, so I couldn't believe Luke was in this movie. That surprised the hell out of me. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie, and I'll say right now, I liked it better than Force Awakens.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
And I understand the reason why, because Force Awakens had a lot more pressure and had, like, it basically had to reintroduce Star Wars to a whole generation without pissing people off. So it's kind of like it couldn't really take chances, for better or for worse. This one could take more chances. And the first thing I told you when we talked about it was, this is the first Star Wars that felt like a grown-up movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, because I was going to say Empire Strikes Back, which is the obvious movie, but this one didn't have a goofy green puppet in it, so...
Empire Strikes Back is almost like a horror movie.
Because
it's like Darth Vader's just running around, just like, that's the first big time movie I can remember where the villain wins the entire movie. Like, he's just from beginning to end, he's just wrecking shop, and it was just And it's just a dark movie. That's probably why people like it so much, because it's, you know, it doesn't tell that story. Like this one, I know it was some website that did a description saying, like, you know, this is the first movie to bring war into Star Wars. And people jumped on it because, like, the title was kind of misleading. Like, the movie's called Star Wars. And if you see, like, the, like, you know, the Chiron when it comes down, the trailer thing, Civil War, anything like that. But after seeing the movie, I think he could have worded it different. Like, this is the first one where you see, like, the war stuff. Like, all the other ones seem like, you know, you got the good guys and you got the bad guys and you got the magic Jedi stuff. And this, you know, it's kind of clear cut and everything. This one is very, like, real. It's more ambiguous than other Star Wars, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, this one was also big picture. And like this was one mission in the ongoing battle war, where the other one was about a small segment family that got spread out. Mm-hmm. So like this, I mean, the way it began with one thing, the names in this are giving me all sorts of problems, but
I figured you'd be used to it by now.
No, well, this one, I mean, come on. The first Star Wars, you had Luke, Han, Leia, Darth Vader, you know. This one, you got Jin, Cassian, oh boy, Donnie Yen, Baz, Orson, Saw, pretty easy, Bodhi, then Galen, and it's like...
Saw, yeah. Like
it's like, Saw, oh, God, come on, you guys are killing me here. But when Cassian straight up kills that guy to keep him quiet, I actually gasped, like, what, huh? Like, did they do a bad job editing there, and he was going to try and kill him or something? And he was defending himself? Like, I understand Han Solo shot first, but that was, well, my generation. I understand because Greedo had a gun pulled on him, and he knew he was going to get shot. This guy just wouldn't shut his mouth, so Cassian just kills him.
Snitches get stitches.
Shit!
And it's kind of like, and even then, like, we even skipped the beginning where it's not like, you know, normally you see, like, a big Star Destroyer or something like that. This one, you see a small ship land on the planet. You see Maz, whenever you see Maz Mikkelsen, you know, Galen Erso, like, something bad's going to happen. Because he just has his face, like, you know, even when he's playing, like, not a bad guy, he just has a face where bad stuff seems to happen around, like, a tragic face. And then you see him with his wife and everything, and then you see Orson Krennic come down with the soldier. You see them talking. It's like, well, where's this going to go? And he straight murders his wife.
Yeah. Star Wars always has that bit of tragedy in there. So you knew the wife was going down.
Yeah, but you saw, it was like the original Star Wars. You know, like Luke's, you know, parent, like step, you know, adopted parents die. Like you see there. It's funny how gruesome that is. In retrospect, like you see the burnt out skeletons, but you don't see it happen on screen,
right? Yeah,
and it's different, like seeing making her get gunned down. They don't make a big deal out of it, and she just runs, and then boom, you get into the movie where it's like the nitty gritty stuff, like all the stuff that happens on these planets that you hear about but never really see about. You talk about how Cassian, like whenever they always talk about the Empire and the Rebellion, like. The Empire is basically the Nazis. You know, they wanted order and clear the chaos and all stormtrooper lives mattered crap and all that stuff. And, you know, the Rebellion is always like these, you know, they're fighting the good fight. They're trying to overcome tyranny. They're scrappy. But you never see them do, like, that would be considered bad things. Mm-hmm. So seeing this dude gun down this guy because it's like, well, I'm going to make sure he may talk. I'm not sure, but I can't take any chances and keep it moving. It's like, oh, I guess they would be considered. They would look like terrorists from a certain point of view.
I never thought of it that way.
And that's the view they was given. And they even reinforced it more when they were talking about whatever the hell Forrest Whitaker was doing. Like, that character. It's like, is this the Star Wars version of Osama bin Laden I'm watching with Smoke? Well, he's too radical for us. And you see him with metal feet. And a breathing mask, and just was wild. Like, Forrest Whitaker is a great actor. I didn't know half the crap he was saying.
Yeah.
I couldn't take my eyes off him. Like, this guy seems like he is insane.
Well, he's apparently from the Clone Wars, I think, cartoon.
Yeah, he's on Rebels.
Oh, is he on Rebels? Okay, I got it.
Well, he's going to show up on Rebels. I think he started off in the Clone Wars, and he's popping back in on Rebels. I think that's how they stopped it.
Real quick, we'll tap into Easter eggs as we go. Apparently, the ship from Rebels is in the movie.
Yeah, I heard that.
I didn't notice it. I saw it was pointed out, so that's not.
Yeah.
That's not my find.
Just like the other one, the two people that went in right before, the dude that got his arm chopped off in this first Star Wars.
Yeah.
I was wondering why people made a big deal. Like, I didn't even notice at first when they just like get out my way, and because maybe I'm not as big a Star Wars nerd as somebody like Dave.
I noticed that one.
Yeah, like I missed that one. So you see that coming, and then you see the plan. Oh, when they basically rescue Jen, and she's fighting, trying to run, and then what's the first thing she happens? She gets chokeslammed by a robot.
Mm-hmm.
That's cracking jokes. That was basically one of the best parts of the movie. Like Alan Tudyk. Star Wars has a great ability of making you care about robots.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to that when we start talking about the deaths. Mm-hmm. But to go back to what you were saying, like, I think this movie. We went in a different direction where I was going, but the scene, like we finally got, you know, like it's called Star Wars, and I understand, like the crawler said, Civil War. And all that. Well, those are just words. I mean, remember, this was supposed to be like a space opera. And when you get this part and then you start seeing all the violence, like this one, I'd say this is way more violent than any of the other ones. But then when you brought up A New Hope, I guess we'll have to go with this from now on. A New Hope, so you got Aunt, Uncle Ben and Aunt Beru, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're burned to a crisp, just the skeletons. And then you get later in Empire Strikes Back, you got Luke gets his face slashed because he got in a car, he got a motorcycle accident, and then you get that Tauntaun just up and dying, and then Han guts the thing so he can throw Luke inside of it. At the end, Luke gets his hand cut off. I mean, you got all this really nasty stuff that was kind of overlooked for a while, because I mean the first three, until you know Anakin starts getting burned up by the lava and you know Obi-Wan basically cuts everything important off, we hadn't really seen too much like bad violence like that.
No,
until
like,
this one
it's kind of like it was violent, but it was like bloodless. It was almost like that whole Marvel violence where it seemed like, hey, wait till it, because keep in mind, like Revenge of Sith, Samuel Jackson gets electrocuted, gets his arm chopped off and tossed out a damn building.
Yeah.
Like fall, and you probably still falling that as we speak. But it's kind of like, okay, they're using force magic and blah blah blah. Yeah, I know Anakin killed a bunch of kids, but you don't see it. It's kind of like, it's different when you see, like, really until he gets torched like a damn marshmallow. None of the violence, even because they have violence, like you know the first one, Darth Maul basically guts,
just cut in half.
Liam Neeson, yeah. and then gets cut in half. And
well, I think whenever it's lightsaber violence, they always have the kickback that, well, it just cauterizes the wound immediately. It's like, okay, I'll give you that one. So
yeah, like lightsaber violence never seemed like it was a big deal until The Force Awakens, when Han Solo called it, because he basically got gutted and twist and turn, and then at the end of the fight. But like you said, this movie is like the violence. The movie felt dirty and violent because it's like these are the people that's trying to survive. And like you see, you know, you see the rebellious kind of like the foot soldiers want to do one thing, the leaders want to do something else. They all can't agree. They all know what to do. And the main guy's like, you know what? I know what we told the girl. When you find her dad, you know what to do. Like handle it. Like handle it. You don't think of like, you know, the rebellion having an assassin. Like, you know, you go ahead and handle business by any means necessary. Like, they supposed to be the good guys. They don't sound that noble.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. It was General. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. General Draven, Alistar Petri from Game of Thrones, which I didn't realize that was him. He just basically tells Cassian, "Hey, look, kill him. Don't worry about it." It's like, wait a minute, you're the good guys. What the hell are you talking about? But no, it was very simple. Just get rid of this motherfucker. We've had enough of this guy.
Yeah, like, Mace tuning in. And then on the other side, you see the Empire. It's like you figure everybody's on the same page and do this. And like Ben Mendelsohn, like, one, he needs to learn, don't trust people with masks on, because he didn't learn that lesson in The Dark Knight Rises when he dealt with Bane. And then this one's kind of like, you've never seen, like, his whole thing is he was always punching outside his weight class. Like, he just wants respect, and he wants to do, it was always like he wants respect that he feel like he didn't get, but he's kind of like not in his depth. And you see him bickering with Tarkin, and it's funny because I know people talk about this online, and I know we jump around. The first time I saw my ass Darlene, like, I let the scene play, like, the first time they showed. Like, it didn't bother me at all. I was just amazed at technology involved to do that. And I asked Darlene, like, what do you think? Like, oh, it seemed kind of, what am I thinking? Like, the guy he's talking to is dead. And she's like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, he died a while ago. She's like, well, how is this going on? I'm like, movie magic. And she's like, oh, wow, okay. And then didn't think anything of it. It's like, unless you were really looking hard, you wouldn't have really, it didn't bother me to like notice, or it was noticeable. Like, I knew what I was seeing because I knew he was dead in real life. Yeah. But like after seeing him for 2 seconds, it's kind of like, okay. And it fit because you figure he'd be around. You want to know how he was in charge of Death Star, this other guy's around. And then it shows, like, you know, Tarkin is like prim and proper and everything, like clean cut and under control, and this other guy's like scrapping and trying to get respect and everything. So seeing them, the contrast was like, you don't see, like, you wouldn't think of infighting in the Empire like that
between two people. Yeah, that's, you know, because they're basically the Nazis, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, and even like through history, I mean, I'm sure whatever terrible regime, whatever, will have that infighting, but you never really got that sense. It was, well, I mean, I guess in A New Hope you sort of did when the one general was mouthing off and Vader started choking him.
Yeah, I'm glad you, so, it's funny, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's kind of reinforced something else where Vader from Jump Street was never impressed with the whole Death Star.
Nope.
And it's hilarious where you feel like you're not getting respect, so what you do, you go complain to Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. on a planet where he got burnt alive. He decided to make his castle there because I guess he has a sense of humor.
That's what I was going to say. Why would you? I mean, I guess it's the constant reminder, especially because Obi-Wan Kenobi just up and disappeared. I mean, it's got to drive him crazy because back then, in this segment of his life, all he wanted to do was kill. So, yeah, I did find that rich. And it's funny because I was watching it with Elise. She didn't realize that was a CGI character either. The Princess Leia one later, that one was a little strange.
I mean, but it passed quick enough where I was like, oh, I didn't expect that. It makes sense for the story. Like, it only lasted like 5 seconds. So yeah, by the time it was there, it was done. It was, that one was more shocking because I wasn't expecting it. But as soon as I saw it, it made sense because it fit right to the beginning of A New Hope.
Which is funny because if you watch that with somebody who hasn't seen A New Hope, none of that mattered. Elise had no clue what was going on. She didn't really care. She actually liked this one a lot better than Force Awakens as well. And even though this movie, you know, it didn't tie together 3 and 4, but it certainly gave you an excuse for how things happened in 4.
It explains 4 a lot more, basically. It's kind of like, well, what happened before 4? Because, and it's weird, like, it's one of those movies where people say, well, why would you have stakes where you know how it ends? It's like, it's not always about the destination, it's the journey. Mm-hmm. And it told a journey, and it basically fleshed out a lot of things, and kind of like, it makes you look at the Empire and the Rebellion, like, yeah, like, it's really, it's not necessarily the good guys and the bad guys, because they made a good point with the whole Death Star thing. It wasn't the whole, we got to, you know, fight the good fight. It's like, they have a weapon of mass destruction, and we don't. So we got to do something. That's war talk. It's not like we the good guys, they the bad guys. It's like, they can annihilate us, and we can't annihilate them. So what are we going to do? You're not used to hearing that talk. Like, they've had war talk in the prequels, but it was all like, you know, taxation and trade embargoes.
Spices, right?
And like boring crap. It was like the stuff, it's like George Lucas, I get what he was trying to do, but he wasn't good enough to bring those points across. And if you're not good enough, no one to hear about trade embargoes when it's Star Wars. So,
well, there's a reason, though, that number three, or Revenge of the Sith, is the best of those three, because it started getting into, and just keep it as little political as possible, but it started the whole, it was, yeah, that was right around when George Bush, no, it was right in the middle of George Bush, and then also yeah. with the, what's the Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. The Patriot Act came out, and then there's that line, it's like, you know, this isn't how democracy doesn't end with a whimper, or whatever, it ends with thunderous applause.
Yeah.
Because George Lucas is that old-ass hippie that just, mm-hmm. that just happens to like, that happened to make, you know, a gigantic franchise, which, whether or not he wanted to or not, was two things, but he's still that old hippie from San Francisco, so when it started getting into a little more political intrigue like that, that seemed to be more his wheelhouse, because the dialogue got better, and, you know, that movie was far better than the other two.
Yeah, like, so, I figured he learned the mistakes from the first two and improved that one, where out of the three, that one is actually, like, that's a decent movie. Not just decent for a prequel. That's, like, that's decent, period. And they cut out a lot of the crap that goes in and they get to it. But back to this one, it's kind of like, this delved into, like, the nitty-gritty of war, the stuff behind the Jedi, and then the whole... It was like a hero quest. It's like all these people kind of getting together because, like, you know, the cargo pilot, all that PTSD crap he's going through and everything, like...
And then Whitaker. Getting tortured by Forrest Whitaker, too.
Yeah, like, I want to find out what I need to... Because, like, Forrest Whitaker's whole character is like, I've been fighting this fight, I'm trying to do it my way because y'all a bunch of pussies, more or less. And then when Jin shows up, he's like, Did they send you to kill me? Almost like this. And he has a good reason for thinking that, because he kind of knows how they think. But you watch her from the outside, it's like, he's the one that saved her when she was a little girl. He's trying to look out for her. And within 30 seconds of them getting back together, he's thinking she's there to finish the job on like some Apocalypse Now shit.
Yeah,
you're not used to seeing that with like Star. You're not used to seeing that in Star Wars.
Good correlation. I didn't get the Apocalypse Now thing, but that does fit perfectly. Wow. Yeah, the poor. And it, okay, they didn't give the one, like, I'll say his right hand man, the really creepy alien looking guy. That was a great design. I wanted to see more of that character just based on what it looked like, but I mean, we're never going to again.
Yeah.
But that, okay, I think you mentioned about sometimes it's the destination, and I think in this case, that fits perfectly. Because I remember, I think Kevin's wife and mine both said the same thing. It's like, well, you already know what happens. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know.
It's a journey.
But all we really know about it was a lot of people died. So in this case, it's like, all right, yeah, obviously they're going to get the plans. And they really didn't hamstring it too much and draw it out. I mean, a little bit, I guess, but you knew they were getting them somehow. But I also wondered in the movie if, what if they're pulling a fast one here, and this isn't the actual group that gets it? Like, how pissed off would people be?
Yeah, you wonder how many change. Like, you could tell watching the movie that stuff was changed, and reading about it, like, things were changed. But it wasn't, like, I didn't have any complaints, because whatever changes they made, the movie was fine. Like, the director made a good point. Like, when he first did it, he had a different ending because he didn't think Disney would let him kill everybody. Oh, spoiler alert, everyone dies.
Yeah.
So, okay. But yeah. Disney didn't. He thought he was going to have a different ending because he didn't think Disney would let him kill everybody off. He was somebody like, no, this is the story we're telling. It sounds cool. Go with it. Like, Kathleen Kennedy sounds like she's in that whole Kevin Feige thing where as long as you fit the story, you can do what you want. As long as it makes sense and does right, she kind of gives them wiggle room. And if you need help, you need help. And because one thing we didn't talk about Gareth Evans, like, he did Godzilla, and that movie had flaws. But one thing is, like, it was shot beautifully well and in no scale. This is the most beautiful, like, this is the best looking Star Wars that's been done by far. Like,
yeah,
it ain't,
yeah.
No disrespect to J.J. Abrams, because he knows what he's doing, but Gareth Edwards, no scale. And, like, this felt real. It felt. Like, seeing a small ship and then see how minuscule it looked compared to the Star Destroyer, and then see how small the Star Destroyer looked to the Death Star, like, it just makes you realize, like, how big everything is. And that's the first time you realize how big, like, you knew the Death Star was big, but it didn't really sink in until this one. Because you see how big a Star Destroyer is. Like, it's eclipsing a damn planet.
We got to remember, wasn't it Return of the Jedi, the Super Star Destroyer, like, ran into the Death Star and just blew itself up. And the Death Star was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that should have told you something then, but most of the time the Death Star isn't near a planet. I know it was near Endor's moon, or Endor the moon, but... Or wait, was Endor a moon, or was it a moon of Endor?
It was Endor, and then they had moons.
Okay.
I think. Fucking nerd talk.
I try to just go, you know what, I know this stuff. Don't try and act like you're too cool. But once you say stuff like that out loud, it's just like, man.
The moon of Endor with the Ewoks.
Yeah, the teddy bears running around. But anyways, the scale, and some of the shots, and I think what he benefited from, he didn't follow, or maybe he, I guess he didn't have to, he didn't follow one of the tropes that a Star Wars movie follows, the way it's shot. There were no dissolves, there were no swipes, there was no immediate return to, like, you end one scene and boom, you go right into another. You had a chance to breathe in between. The first 25 minutes of this was, I don't know if I didn't like it, or if when I first watched it, it was so different that it threw me off. Because when you go to a Star Wars movie, you know what to expect. You're going to get you're going to get Long Time Ago, Galaxy Far, Far Away. Da-da! Crawler, dissolve, or fade, whatever. You got the Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. All of a sudden, here comes this tiny ship, and it's like, well, huh? There's no... Well, what the hell's going on? And then it says, you're at this planet. Something happens. Hey, you're at this planet. Something happens.
You know, that's the first one where... Well, I remember, like, I don't know if the prequel movies did it, maybe, where they told you where they were.
Most of the time, it was in dialogue, yeah.
Yeah, and this felt different. It felt better. It's like, okay, this planet is here, and this planet is that, and that's what this is going on. Yeah, it felt different, and the first 20, 30 minutes was necessary to build up to it, because the last... Once they start, like, the attack on the planet, like, that last 30 to 45 minutes was just nonstop. Like,
I didn't expect that at all.
I heard people say, like, I didn't know how good it would be. Like, I heard people say that, like, once you get... They, like, you'll know when you get there. Once you get to a certain point, the movie, like, kicks into overdrive. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that point when we get, like, later. But it's like, another thing about it was Hollywood, I don't know if it's because of he doesn't want to, or you can figure out, it's no reason in the world that Donnie Yen shouldn't be a big star in America. Like, seeing him in this movie was like, I was so excited, sad, because I knew how good he was. Like, even though now he's in his 50s, he still got it. Like, they've always complained saying we can't find an Asian star. Like, you have an Asian male that can act. First time you see, like, real kung fu in a Star Wars movie, like, I should have, like, I'm mad that the guys from the raid got wasted in The Force Awakens, because you figured they was going to do more. So seeing Donnie Yen in there just demolishing a bunch of stormtroopers with a stick. Mm-hmm. But Barry looked like he's trying, and then to see his friend, like, finish off, like, shooting 9 people in 4 seconds, like, the dynamic was there was just awesome. And then he's there cracking jokes, like, we both said the same thing when they get in there and they put the hood on him.
Yep. I was like, are you joking? I'm blind. And I was like, what? At first I didn't laugh, because you're not used to that. And that's another Star Wars thing that was broken. You don't have, outside of the droids, you don't have, like, just an outwardly, like, sarcastic or... Yeah, I'll go with sarcasm. You got, like, a dry sense of humor or arrogance, but you don't have, like, him saying that.
Yeah.
But, have you seen a picture of what... I think it's Wen Zhang?
Uh-huh.
Have you seen what he looks like?
Yeah, I would have never guessed that the same person.
The wonders... We talked about this on the last show, I believe. The wonders of what a simple wig and makeup do for you. I was shocked that he's not a 70-year-old man carrying around a laser machine gun. That was crazy to see that. But going to, not to skip ahead, but Donnie Yen, I don't think it's too late for him. Well, hell, isn't he in XXX?
He's in XXX. Okay. Like, his whole thing is, I think he's in a boat where he never did it because he didn't have to. Like, he makes plenty over in Hong Kong. So, and it's like, I bet you it was a lot of people didn't realize, oh, he speaks perfect English. I'm like, yeah, he grew up in, he lived in Boston, for God's sake. Like, he was born overseas, but he grew up here and then went back. So you have a guy that looks the way he looks, can act, is a like a real life martial, or like won tournaments. And he said if he didn't have a shoulder injury, he would have did UFC.
Oh wow, I didn't know
like,
that.
Like that caliber of like, not, you know, I took, you know, like martial arts class for 3 months. No, I studied it and won championships for 10 years because my mama used to, you know, win championships herself. Like that level of martial artist.
Jesus.
He's fun. Like, he's doing stuff. Like, before, he was just saying, you know, the stuff they offered me, it seemed like it was boring. I like testing myself. But it's funny, he did this, and he's going to be in, you know, the next XXX. So it's like, I guess he finally decided where, you know, why not? I'll just to see it. It'll be fun. I'll make money. But seeing him in the dynamic where I didn't know if he knew the Force and wasn't a Jedi or what was going on with that. But it's just like the first one where the Force was a big deal, but they didn't. But it wasn't anybody. It wasn't any like Jedi's, but lightsabers running around.
Yeah, that was driving me crazy though. When he was saying, "I'm one with the Force," or "I believe in the Force believes," or whatever that line was, he kept saying it over and over. I was like, "Can someone just like lop his tongue off so it would be like just something?" And I guess it was supposed to do that because his partner was like, "Come on, just."
It was funny because his friend is like, "Will you cut this crap out? Like, you talk all this Force stuff, and we're here begging for change.
Yeah.
Where the Force at now?" But it builds into it because it leads to a great scene at the end. Like, they didn't spend enough time, as much time with the characters as we wanted, because it's kind of like a one and done movie. Mm-hmm. But they spent enough time so when they died, you cared. And it was hilarious where it wasn't like grandiose deaths. It was like stuff that happens in war.
I want to cut you off. You're exactly right, but let's save that to as we get towards the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Because that's something we have to talk about. Yeah. one thing. I remember, a blaster is an unreliable weapon, okay? Why isn't everybody carrying around that backpack machine gun? That seemed like the greatest weapon ever.
Yeah. That thing probably weighs about 150 pounds. That's why.
Well, hey, they're clones. Well, I mean, I'm guessing the stormtroopers are still clones. So beef them up, for God's sake. Well, no, they got rid of cloning, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot. They got rid of cloning because of...
Well, it depends. It depends. I'm wondering because I think the clones from the Clone Wars show up in Rebels, but I don't know if they're still in the... I don't know if they're still in the like the Imperial Army anymore. So I don't know how the timeline fits because Rebels apparently, like, that ship was in that movie, but I don't know how far like Rebels was to that. I'm guessing, you know, they never really kind of make it clear. Like, Darth Vader was around, but you know how old he was, more or less.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny where that stormtrooper armor, the scene, like, it's just there for show because a dude with a stick just beat them up, more or less.
Yeah. Yes, with weapons and everything. The Donnie Yen thing, maybe he just said to hell with it and he's going to make these movies, but also maybe the right people are finally going, hey, let's use this guy. Like, why the hell else were the guys from the raid in the first one? Because it sure as shit isn't because they're making the Raid 3. God.
It will be made when it's time to be made.
Just stay positive. Well, these be made because I'm selfish. I want to see what the hell happens now. So
all these movies they said the Raid 3 will be something where it's kind of like the stuff that happens between either before the first one or between the first one and the, like, I don't think
oh,
it follows.
Come on, are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't think it follows the one that we just saw unless they changed their mind. But you were complaining about how many movies that's coming out now. Do you really have? Yeah, like
yes,
it'll be out when it'll be out. But I know we talked about Donnie Yen. We talked about the other guy. Alan Tudyk was getting the most laughs in the movie that I saw with that damn robot. Because, like I said, like I described to you, it was like if C-3PO was an asshole that killed people, he'd be that robot more or less, because it was like a extremely dry sense of humor, where it's kind of like almost autistic sense of humor. If I'm trying to find a way to describe it, because it wasn't like he was being sarcastic, not even a word. It was almost like droll. Like, he would say stuff that is hilarious because it's not really. He's saying stuff that's funny, but he's not saying it's a joke, which makes it even funnier. Like that line, say, you know, I'll be there for you. Wait 3 seconds. Cassian told me I had to be. I just lost it because I'm like, that's just a perfect ass line. And you wonder where he's going with that. Like, oh, he has feelings, and like, nope.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was. I was trying to remember when that was, when they were getting on the ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he disregards orders, which I thought was weird. Unless you know.
I guess they have freedom to do it. He's kind of like, oh, I didn't think you'd be good enough to do it by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I guess he kind of went wrong, like, I guess.
Yeah, like, he was right and everything, but it was hilarious. Like, I knew Alan Tudyk played the role because I was reading the cast, and I heard people who saw it talked about it, but I didn't realize how funny he'd be. So
he was a guy that was in Firefly and a bunch. He's been in a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah, and he's gonna be in that dude. Gonna be in that NBC DC movie about how they work behind the scene with like comics and stuff.
That's a show.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I meant, a show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. But anyways, we'll save that for a different show. But I know a lot of people, like fans reading, they wanted him to play Booster Gold, and Nathan Fillion to play Blue Beetle. Because of the pairing, I guess. I don't know. I tried watching Firefly and couldn't get into it. But maybe it was just the wrong frame of mind. So, but yeah, he's been in a bunch of stuff. I had no idea that was him. I didn't know he was in this. Movies I really want to see, which if we get to it later, I'm going to contradict myself with John Wick. I tend not to read a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
So the only people I knew were in this movie were the people on the posters. Or the people that they sent pictures of. And obviously, his face wasn't in there. So, but then once I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, it does kind of sound like him. All right. But yeah, I thought he was a, like, adding that in there. I mean, obviously, it's a Star Wars movie. You got to have your droids in there somewhere. But I like the contrast. A darker movie had a darker version of a droid in there. And the fact that he was just a reprogrammed Imperial droid kind of gives you, like, the, well, You can take the Empire out of the droid. Oh no, you can take the droid out of the Empire, but you can't take the Empire out of the droid. Yeah,
sure can. And he didn't have any problem. Like, I never thought I'd see droid on droid violence. Like when he sucked out the schematics for that other one.
Yeah,
it came off like creepy. Like, I don't know why, because like it's just a robot doing something like to another robot. Robots don't have, assume robots have feelings. It just came off as like, that's the whole vibe I got with the movie. Like, it made sense, and that's the thing you do, but the whole movie just had this kind of off feeling. Like, you're not used to seeing this in Star Wars. Like, I wouldn't expect to, like, see R2-D2 just run up to a droid and just suck his brains out.
Right. Well, the only time, like, he's, that was whatever his name was. Anyways, they gave, every droid has gotten, like, some sort of personality, to where you get fooled into thinking that they're real people. I mean, even C-3PO. I mean, R2-D2, who just clicks and whistles the whole time, you know his personality. And you're exactly right. They go and communicate with other droids as if, I don't want to say as if they're people, but they have exchanges as if they're people. Well, you know, was it K2SO, right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. When he just straight bashes the other one and just takes what he wants, you should feel that way, because you've already been subjected to 7 movies where droids have an interpersonal communication, even though we've seen, like, you know, C-3PO being built. So you know it's not real. It's not a real person, but
it just shows, like, this movie did a good job of leading you to say, like, oh, you know Star Wars, so you think you know what's going to happen, and then playing with your emotions, more or less, kind of like, this is not your father's Star Wars. But not in a way that felt like manipulative, just show like this is different. And Like, I got to laugh when Krennic, because we didn't talk about that much, when he went to the with Darth Vader's planet, and first you see Darth Vader left in the back to take back the tank, and yeah. you realize how much of him is barely left. And that was like, oh yeah, he basically got burnt alive. And like, you knew what's coming, and he's there, you know, and he brushed him off saying, yeah, yeah, I know about your deaths. Like, talking about, oh, the Death Star is capable of this, is this. Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's capable of causing a lot of trouble. Like, you blew up something, caused a lot of commotion. Like big damn deal. And he's like, we're gonna tell the people that was a minor accident. And basically like brushing him off, like, you know, why are you whining to me about this stupid machine that's not a big deal? And Krennic just kept pushing it and pushing it, like, and I'm sitting here like, I know he knows that Darth Vader is a big deal. Is he that damn desperate? Like, he's gonna keep nagging to this man. It's like, it's, you know, he's like, you know, it's gonna happen. It's going. He's just going on and on. Like, am I gonna get the promotion? Am I gonna get credit? Yeah, just kept going. Like he's like that guy that, you know, he didn't get fired, but he's still trying to get that raise. Like, he did not know when to quit. So of course, Vader just throws the force choke on him. He's like, be sure not to choke on your aspirations. I'm like, see, that's the asshole Vader that you remember from comics. And like the Empire Strike Back, but not like the prequels, because,
well, even Star Wars, I mean,
yeah, like, mm-hmm. people were like, oh, Vader, like, no, Vader was a dickhead. Like, don't forget, like, he was an asshole that would crack jokes. He did it in Star Wars. He definitely did it in Empire Strikes Back. I guess people don't really remember that, or they're thinking, you know, it's like they made Vader seem like Vader again. And I know we're gonna get to the end, because that's an important part, but like, I'm glad we were able to see that, because like, Vader felt like the biggest badass in the galaxy again.
Yeah, no, I think we can talk about the end. This is a good time to talk about the end, because it goes perfectly with this. I mean, you had that, he had him, you know, choking the guy, and then that was it. And I was like, is that all they're gonna do? Because that was really all you saw from the previews. Mm-hmm. So, like, well, that just seemed like kind of a waste. Like, okay, cool, you got Vader back in the movie. When he comes in at the end, and
set it up beforehand. When they get there, when Tarkin basically like, you know what, it's time to clean up this mess, and they like, what about the fleet? He's like, oh, Lord Vader will take care of that. So you thinking the ships are going to escape, and they're about to jump to hyperspace, yep. and then all of a sudden this big Star Destroyer just pops out of nowhere, and I was like, whoa, like, you see the ships careening off. Like, I always wondered about that, because they always make a big deal, like, you know, you got to plot hyperspace, because it's not like blank space. You can run into something. And just seeing those ships, thinking everybody going to get away and just run into a wall. And then you see the lights go dark. You hear the heavy breathing, and you hear the lightsaber. And that's the first time, like, that's, you know, you always hear about, like, you know, Vader's the biggest badass in the galaxy. You read about it in the comics and, like, books, but you never saw it on screen. Like, you saw Hayden Christensen's stuff, but you never saw, like, Darth Vader being Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. And you saw it then, because it was like a damn horror movie. Like, good Lord.
Yeah, and it was refreshing. And this is why I wanted to get to this now is, I mean, he's force-choking guys. He's got one guy pinned to the ceiling. All these guys are shooting at him. He's just dodging them, knocking them back. Then he's just slicing guys down, moving forward the whole time, takes the guy, lets him go, slices him up, takes another one, throws him at other people. And it was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because for the last, I don't know how long it's been, and I'll never forget this routine. It was from Patton Oswalt. He was talking about Darth Vader. It was during, I think, when he was doing his bit about the prequels. And he goes, he was talking about Vader for some reason, and just said, if you give a basket of kittens to Darth Vader, he's going to look like a fucking idiot. And that's kind of what's happened to Darth Vader over time. Mm-hmm. You got ugly Christmas shirts, you got Darth Vader t-shirts with like a little Christmas hat on it, or like, you know, memes with Darth Vader, all this stuff, to where as our generation. No, he was the guy that sliced down Obi-Wan Kenobi, whether, you know, he let him or not.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. the guy that orders executions. He's the guy that froze Han Solo and was like, well, if he lives, cool. If he doesn't, well, Boba Fett, I'll give you more money. He was the guy that, you know, was going to keep Princess Leia as his slave, basically. He tortured her in the first one. He chops off Luke's hand, then goes, "Hey, I'm your dad." And you're like, wait a second. And then over years and years, it got whittled away. And I think part of the prequels were the problem because the actor's choice, I don't know if it was the actor or if it was the direction he was given.
It was probably 25% the actor, 75% direction, because that movie somehow made Liam Neeson and Samuel Jackson look boring. And I know both of those guys can act. Like, I've seen them in movies. Yeah. So, and Natalie Portman might as well have been brain dead. And I've seen her act too. So,
if you ever want to see an actress just collecting a paycheck, like literally just counting the money while she's on screen, I think that's a fairly good movie to watch.
I know people wanted to care about Darth Vader, but they explained it in such a way to make him look like a damn chump. It's kind of like, oh, he joined the dark side because he was in love and he got lied to. It wasn't like, because you saw the originals, you saw the first Star Wars, like, oh, he got seduced by the dark side. So it's like, okay, he wanted evil, he wanted more power, and got that. It's thinking, okay, he's a badass like that. The prequel's like, oh, no, he got suckered like a damn love-struck fool, and he just went with it. So it's kind of like, why be afraid of this guy? And then if you see the first Star Wars, like him... It ain't his fault, but him and Obi-Wan Kenobi fighting in slow motion, but it's the 70s, so it's the 70s. That's how they did things. So seeing him basically be like the damn Terminator, is like, he could have just easily just killed all of them. But no, he was basically having fun. Yeah, I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to make you shoot yourselves with your own guns and then stab this guy before I keep on walking. Like, he's basically like being evil. Not just like, you know, I'm here to do a mission. I'm here to handle business. Like, no, I'm going to have fun with it. And everybody, like, on that ship kind of like, we're going to die. What are we going
to
do?
Uh-huh. That's what I wanted to talk about, too, was the poor guy who couldn't get the door open, just screaming for his life, like, get this door open, get this door open. Because, I mean, it's Darth Vader. I was going to say because Jason Voorhees is after him. But no, I mean, it's like, you know, that's where it turned into, like, a little bit of a horror movie. The bad guy's coming, and Vader could have just killed the guy and, like, got the card from a distance, but he was being a dick about it. He was like, I'm just going to slow walk. I got my robot legs.
And then the guy just realized, you know what, like, I'm not going to survive, so just take it. Like, when you know, you like, because at first, like, well, maybe I have a chance if I just open up this damn door, and then it's like, you know what, I still got to do a mission. I know it's not going to end well. So he hands it to him and then gets gutted right in the heart.
Yep.
And then I was watching that, and it was funny. Like, people had a mixture of shock and like cheering, and that's the whole thing. Like, you cheering for a monster, but he's just so damn cool, you can't help yourself. And that's always been why Darth Vader got pimped out with like kittens and cereal boxes, because like, you got James Earl Jones with this perfect voice. You have this awesome character, like, you know, design. Like, he looks like a badass, and then he's portrayed like. He handles, like, he'll crack jokes and kill. Like, he handles business. And throughout the whole series up until, like, Return of Jedi, he almost always won, more or less. Except for, like, that little thing at the end of Star Wars when Han Solo came out of nowhere like a chump.
Yeah, he got attacked from behind.
From behind. And, like, basically all the Empire Strike Back, he just wins. And, you know, and people were not used to seeing, like, the bad guy just win throughout the whole movie. Like, he starts off winning, he ends winning. So, yeah. So to see him again, like, I read some bits and pieces of the comic they did, like the Vader one that just came out, and that's basically that. Like, yeah, if they want to do a Star Wars movie and just did a Vader one talking about how he was just gunning down Jedi and everything like that and build it to a certain part, I'd rather see that than like young Han Solo any damn day of the week.
I don't know if I'm on board with the Han Solo stuff, but whatever.
You knew they had to do it, but it's kind of like, sometimes I don't need to know. I think the mistake people are making is like, Star Wars does a good job of, they put you in this galaxy that's already lived and going on, and you just follow it. You might have questions, but they don't necessarily answer the questions. I think too many times people are like, oh, you wonder if this happened? I'm like, yeah, but I don't necessarily need to see it. Like, I don't need to see Han Solo the Wonder Years. Like,
yeah, I don't need to know how him and Chewie met, you know,
because especially with this fan base, because it's like, people already have it built up in their minds. It's like, even if you tell a unless the story is awesome, if it's characters you love and it's not the way that you want it,
yeah,
you just, you know, disregard it no matter what story they tell. And it's kind of like, it's going to make money, and they like making money, and I get the allure of doing that. Like, because this movie, who would have thought, like, you know, we're going to tell about how you got the plans from the Death Star. It's like, who cares? Like, I know they get it, but they did such a good job that you end up caring.
We haven't even talked really much about, you know, Felicity Jones or Diego Luna at all. I liked them, but they kind of got overshadowed, right?
I mean, because it's kind of like they weren't necessarily likable, but I don't think they were meant to be. Like, Felicity Jones seemed like the most common sense thing, because she had an awesome line when she's like, why am I going to join? Why care about this rebellion crap? When he's getting on her like, oh, now you want to care because your dad involved and yada, yada, yada. It's like, why would you, like, do you really care? Do you really want to be under the flag of the Empire? And she's like, if I don't look up, it don't matter what flag is there, more or less. And I'm like, she's supposed to be there. She said stuff that made, like, real sense, but you would never, like, you couldn't imagine, like, Luke saying something like that. Like, oh, it ain't my fault. Like, you expect Han Solo saying that. You wouldn't expect, the, like, the protagonist be like, ain't got nothing to do with me. Y'all messed up my life. But, like, I'm out. That whole thing. And it was kind of like a hard role, because I know people compared it to Rey. Like, Rey wanted to jump into it because it's like, she had nothing on that dirtball planet. Her parents abandoned her, and she ready for adventure. This one's like, I don't want nothing. Like, my dad is working for the Empire. They killed my mom. The guy that adopted me abandoned me for whatever reason. Like, it may have been a good reason. So all this rebellion stuff just made my life miserable. I'm minding my business. Kiss my ass. And the other guy's kind of like, what makes you think you're the only person that had a rough life? Like, it was some stuff going on with Diego Luna's character. Like, they didn't delve into it. It's like, stuff had to, because this whole thing is like, you know what? I've been telling myself I've been doing all these bad things for a good reason. And that's the only thing that's keeping me sane. And I'm like, this ain't stuff, like, this makes great sense, but, you know, like, we've been saying it over and over again. This isn't stuff Star Wars talks about, where this whole, I got PTSD. And it's like, I'm just trying to deal with it because it's like a means to an end. Like, that's terrorist talk.
And you mentioned that in one of our conversations before. I think it was right after, where it was like the rebellion kind of came off as terrorists. So, isn't it, you know, some people's terrorists or other people's freedom fighters?
Yeah, they said the only difference between a freedom fighter and a terrorist is perspective. And yeah, it's kind of like,
you're on.
The only reason we're rooting for the rebellion, because we know the Empire is bad, and they prove it. They blowing up cities and stuff like that just to prove a point. Like, it's almost like bad versus worse, where, but it's kind of like, if, and you know what's so dangerous about it? And it's funny because I'm watching Man of the High Castle, like, it season 2 just started, and I catch myself doing that, like, how it's real easy to see yourself like, you know what? Bad guys kind of got a point. Like, it's about order, it's peace, you know, free will kind of gets you in trouble, and we just here to, like, keep stuff moving and everything like that. And part is like, well, there's nothing really wrong with that, until you realize, like, they're going to do it by, you know, torture. Like, if you don't do it, we'll blow up your damn planet. And then it kind of sinks in. But you see the other side, like, these knuckleheads coming in, blowing up towns, and I'm just trying to get some bread. And these knuckleheads, like that fight in Jeddah, where it's like, it was almost like Afghanistan stuff. Like, it's,
yes,
these,
yes,
they coming in with IUDs and blowing up tanks, and not even worrying about the damn people and stuff. And it's like, what? I know what I'm watching, but I didn't think this had the balls to go here like this. Like, it's making the Empire, it's making the rebellion look like, well, we got to do what we got to do. Tough shit.
Okay. I don't want to bring this sort of stuff up, but has there been any blowback about that? Because you hit it. No, you know who I'm talking about.
No.
Because you mentioned, like, this is like Afghanistan. And then at the end, there was something. I just drew a blank. But there are, like, different, there were different bits and pieces in this movie that actually have, like, real-world applications. So, I've avoided all this stuff. I've become very good at it. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of blowback about this stuff. Like, you know, the liberal, you know.
No, the blowback came in the beginning where Republicans felt like, oh, this is an anti-Republican movie. I'm like, where you been? Like, that ain't new. I'm like, if you watch any of the Star Wars movie, they make it quite clear, like, you know, one group are the fascists, and it ain't the good guys.
Yeah.
So, okay. Like, that's nothing, like, so beyond that nonsense, like, no, people are just more surprised than anything. And I think it helps that, you know, Gareth Edwards is an American. So he has, like, a non-American viewpoint bringing that. So he can be more – it's funny, like, it's almost like the BBC viewpoint. Like, I'm just a bystander calling it like it is from – I don't necessarily have a stake in this.
Yeah.
So I can tell that story. It's kind of like – because, yeah, you're not – you wouldn't – J.J. Abrams wouldn't do that because, one, he wouldn't. And then two, he wouldn't. And then three, it's just like Americans tend to be, it's a funny thing when you're telling a story about yourself, even though it's really not about yourself, you want to see yourself as the good guys. Like no villain thinks they're the villain unless they're sociopaths. Every villain think like they're right and doing what they're doing for whatever reason. Like the Empire feel like they're doing the right thing and they don't want this rebel scum that's just mucking stuff up. The rebels think they're doing a good thing, like they want to bring freedom in and deal with tyranny. But depending on where you live, you're getting caught in between a rock and a hard place. It's like, I just want y'all to get out my face, more or less.
Well, and also depending on who you are, the rebels can be kind of tyrants. Mm-hmm. I will go back to the poor guy is scared and he gets murdered for being scared. Yeah, that's some shit, man.
After he's trying to help y'all, he's trying to help y'all. He's just trying to escape. Like, okay, I did what you had to do. Can we go? And he's like, tell me this, this, and this. And then the guy's like, look, this one part of the deal. Can I just want to get on with my life? And he's like, okay. And then kind of giving this look like, hey, I don't know. He might if somebody grab him, he'll squeal. Like that whole line from Dark Knight. Like I know a squealer when I see one. And he just handled it like. You can see Han Solo doing something maybe like that, but he's like a scoundrel and like, I'm looking out for myself and Chewie's. That's fine. This guy's in the military. Like, this guy's will be representing the good guys. And he's like, better you than me, more or less. Like, I might have taken any chances. And you're not used to, like, the good guys with this whole, I got to do what I got to do. And it's, and even, like, even the rebels had extremists.
Yeah. Okay, so we got off of it. But going back to Jen and Cassian, you know, Diego Luna and Felicity Jones, not in that order. I don't know. It's funny because the two main characters, those are the two characters that get the least amount of attention. And that's just, I mean, not just from us, but I've just read everything else. Donnie Yen apparently just stole the show. And K2SO and Darth Vader. You know, those are the three to where your leads, nothing.
I mean, that's the whole thing with the protagonist. It's kind of like, unless it's a movie when it's just about them, they have to be more or less a blank slate because they have to do the heavy lifting carrying the story and allow like the side characters to be more entertaining because they get to be entertaining. Donnie Yen gets to do Donnie Yen stuff because the story isn't about him. He's just part of the story. Like, it's different where the story is about Felicity Jones. And just think about it. She's basically a war orphan that really doesn't want to have anything to do with the whole thing. Imagine how it felt like in real life applications. You were like the daughter of like J. Robert Oppenheimer, like the guy that invented the atomic bomb.
Yeah, true.
And it's kind of like, you know the reasons for it, but they the good guys. Imagine if Oppenheimer was like a Nazi. Like, imagine that, like he left United States to join the damn Nazis and made the atomic bomb for them. Like, do you really, like, and then he did it to protect you and it killed your mom. And then that scene when he's just breaking down the Death Star and everything, and I'm glad, it's funny, that fixed a loophole with the Death Star because people always wonder, you got this super machine, and I know, like, it was like a million one shot because Luke had the Force. But why would you have a flaw like that? That seemed kind of dumb. It's like, okay, well, this is why we had the flaw. Like, I had to explain why I did that. But that scene was heartbreaking because she's watching that, listening to her dad and everything on why he couldn't be there and everything like that. And he, and Mads Mikkelsen has a way of, like, bringing out emotion.
Yeah.
And she's there like she about to cry and he's about to cry and everything. And it's like, oof.
And that's it. And this is where we need to talk about the end and how everyone just dies.
After she finally meets up with her dad, and he just dies in an explosion because that's the way.
Because of the people who she's helping bomb the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was trying to come up with an honest hero's death in this movie. What I mean is, usually there's like a big battle, you know, like you've got, like Luke and Darth Vader, whatever, that sort of thing, all right? But in this, you didn't really have protagonist, antagonist. It was just, we're all out here fighting. I'm trying to remember what his name was. The pilot, you know, the guy, I'm just a pilot.
Oh, Bodhi.
Bodhi. Yeah. He just dies. They throw a grenade in, kaboom, that's it.
Yeah, after doing a role. And it's funny, that whole scene, it's like they're all working together as a team, but it's kind of like war stuff. Like, you know, we got to do this, but we can't do this until you do that. But first, you guys got to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's like everybody's working together, but it's kind of like you care. Even the soldiers, you don't know none of these people, but it's like they in it. Like, it's kind of like we got to do what we got to do. We probably going to die, but whatever. And everybody's, it's no like, you know, this one guy jumping over five or six things, knocking out a whole bunch of people. It's like soldiers doing soldier stuff, and they, you know, like Bodhi does all, like Bodhi does that. He finally leaves the ship. He's the one that, you know, connects and everything like that. You think, okay, maybe like, he goes back to the ship, and then a grenade out of nowhere just rolls in the ship and just blows him up. I'm like, that happens in war, but I'm like, this is not some movie hero death. This is kind of like, stuff.
I mean, I know he wasn't like a central character. You know, you weren't emotionally invested in the guy. Okay. But then you get to, I got to stop saying Donnie Yen. You get to, maybe I should go with Donnie Yen.
Chirrut.
In Baze.
Mm-hmm. Baze, okay. Malbus.
So, you know, fuck it. Donnie Yen has a seemingly heroic end. He gets out there, gets the plug, you know, pulls the master switch, and it just gets mowed down. Mm-hmm. So it's like a self-sacrifice. Like, okay, but even then, it wasn't that he was helping save the day, but he didn't save the day, and he didn't, like, overcome his adversary. He just got shot down.
Yeah. And you wonder about the whole thing. He's talking about, you know, I'm going to trust in the Force and everything like that. And it's like, is he going to actually use the Force to turn levers? Like, no. He's just gonna walk there, and I know it's a joke that they have bad aim. It can't be that damn bad. So it's like maybe he's using the Force to like duck it and everything like that. Cause they never go into how he does what he does. Like, he's blind. I'm assuming it's the Force, cause it's not just he can fight with a stick. He shot somebody with like a gun, like, and didn't even look at, like, he turned his back like to him. And shot something. And then he shoot like a TIE fighter or something like that, if I remember right.
Yes, he got... Alright. I know where you're going, but I honestly just chalk that up to... That was like an ode to just Kung Fu movies. Because you've always got like the blind master that's always better than everybody else. That's what I just thought that was. I don't know if it was... You could say it was the Force, but I think he was just a guy that was plucked out of, you know, Shaolin Tiger or whatever. Put in a Star Wars movie because that's a badass idea, and I'm all for that. So that I guess help explains it, because they said the only way you can use the Force is if you're a Jedi, and it was
maybe he was just a non-trained Jedi. Like, I think the whole thing
because
it's kind of like everybody used, like, you have to have Jedi powers, use the Force, but everybody used the Force. I felt like Jedi is like an official label, because, you know, Darth Vader all like, yeah, the Force is strong with you, but you're not a Jedi yet. All that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I think the way this guy was like, he's Force sensitive and everything, which would explain a lot, but they don't beat you over the head with it. Like, so you thinking he's going to finally use the Force. Like, nope, he walks over there. Another explosion happens. His friend there kind of like, you know... Yes, and it's kind of like heart, because they like Riggs and Murtaugh, like, friend. Like, they've been through it. And then he finally start believing again. And then when he sees the ship explode, it's like, you know what? My friend died. I ain't going home. Fuck it.
Exactly. He just takes out a bunch of nobodies. Well, it kind of takes out some nobodies. And then gets shot down for his own good. It's like...
Oh, you know what he died again? A grenade.
So it's, again, it's a non-heroic. I mean, and he didn't go down whimpering and hiding. I understand that, but he didn't have like a, I just shot the missile into the bunker, whatever. It's just my friend's dead, not going home. Nah, screw it. I'm just going. And I'm thinking, like, just turn around, and go help somebody else. Like, what are you doing? So those three are wiped out. Her dad dies after what? 18 years they haven't seen each other, we'll say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They get after, to talk for four minutes, and he dies, like...
After he sacrificed, like, you know, because Krennic was about to kill all his team, and he's like, I did it. He's like, okay. Kills him anyway.
Yeah, yes, forgot about that. Yeah.
It is, like, on... And then it shows kind of like they were friends back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like, you see those flashbacks, it was like, you're not used to seeing, like, the Empire be humanized. And you saw that, it's like, you know, they just doing a job too, and it's kind of like they seem like they were just buddy buddy and everything. Like, oh, we're just working on this stuff. That's, you know, my work friend. Not realizing it's the damn Death Star. And it's like, yeah. So you see that, and then you see them trying to download to get the plans. You know, the robot finally gets a gun, trying to hold him off, and you kind of like, and then he finally gets after, like, you know, he probably had the most heroic sacrifice, because, you know, he closed the door knowing, you know, protect them, knowing he's about to go out, tell them to run. And then it's funny, he's a robot and he probably had the most emotional death.
Yes, but yes, I wanted to say, but he closed the door and said it was locked, but they sure as hell got in that door pretty easy.
Well, slow him down, so, not stop.
Yeah, but I didn't expect the droid to go out that way either. How? Just getting shot down by a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what would happen. Like, there was no hero, like, well, until the stuff with Cassian and Jin, there wasn't a whole lot of I'm saving the day at the last second. And it made like, after I thought about it, it made sense. Everyone just dies. You know, it just keeps getting mowed down and mowed down and mowed down. And then when you get to Cassian, he saves Jin and then falls, and which I thought was to his death. But then when they showed him land on the platform, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he'll be back.
He didn't fall that far, so you figure he's going to come back. And then, like, they changed scenes because when you saw previews and stuff, when she's up there, it's a TIE fighter up there.
Yeah, something changed, yeah.
Yeah, and so they changed stuff, and then it's kind of like, you know, the whole thing with her and Krennic talking. And then he shows up, and you thinking, okay... They're gonna kill Krennic, right? And she and they like nope. The hell with it. And it's funny, okay, so it's like they got the shield opened up, they got the message there. So are they gonna escape and meet some island? And then Tarkin shows up. And it's like, and you always wonder, okay, where are this stuff that you didn't see these other movies, like, where are these cool ass death troopers that seem like the only ones that knew how to shoot? Where's these other guys? And he's like, time to clean up the mess. ain't no rescue, ain't no, you know, anything like that. Just blow up the damn, and they see the explosion, like, they already seen it before when they were on Jedha, so they know what's gonna happen. Like, we ain't running, so it's like, I know some people, like, I know if you are a little kid, like, is the sun shining? Like, what's about to happen? Like, no, they about to die.
So no, son, this is what you call the end. And
yeah.
I liked how they built that up, because I was expecting some sort of last minute rescue. They made a big deal out of all these ships being around, coming down to the planet. And yes,
and not only that, we didn't talk about the part how they opened up the shield. They used a ram ship to push a Star Destroyer into another Star Destroyer.
Yes. Yeah,
to open up the shield. I'm like, oh, who? Like, that's what little kids think of. Like, when you have Legos, like, that would be cool, wouldn't it? I would never think a grown up would have the imagination to do that. And when I saw that, I was like, that is so awesome. And it's practical, because it's like, well, how would you? Like, you know, you kind of like, how would you do that? Because, like, you outman, you outgun, and you got to get this open in a short time frame. Because that that commander there, like, he was basically like Winston Churchill. He like, you know what, we gone. Because they asked, like, when Mon Mothma asked, like, well, where did he go? They like, oh, he left. He like, the hell with it. Y'all talk this stuff all you want. I'm going to fight. Like, y'all work it out without me, basically.
Are you talking about the guy that's not Admiral Akbar, the alien?
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. Admiral Churchill, as I called him.
All right, that works. But, okay, so on the planet, they shoot. They're just on the beach, and they're like, screw it. And I was actually getting annoyed because they made a point that this is a war movie. These are people in battle fighting together. This is in no way a romantic endeavor. They teased you that Jin and Cassian were going to kiss at one point. And I was like, no fucking way. That better not happen. And then at the end, with, you know, the shockwave, whatever, coming at him, I'm like, don't do it. They just held hands, which makes total sense, and get washed away. Because I think getting any sort of romantic inclination out of that would have done a total disservice. Like, you can't have just two characters on equal footing. I was about to say hetero, but that doesn't actually come into the equation in this case. But anyways, you can't have a man and woman just fighting side by side without having to somehow get romantically linked at one point.
You know, the only time, and that's funny you bring that up, the only movie I can remember, I'm sure there's been other movies where a man and woman like fought together like that and weren't romantically involved, was Quantum of Solace, the James Bond movie.
The second one. Latest Mad Max.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
I didn't even think about that. Those two, because it's kind of like, you know, we just fighting. We barely know each other. We fighting for different reasons. We both got sadness and everything like that. We ain't got time for it. Like those two movies, because normally it's kind of like you got a pretty guy, pretty girl. They've been through it and everything like that. And maybe one kiss for the rose. Like, nah. Like, yeah, you know, kind of like we've been through the same things. Mission accomplished. Let's go. And it's like they killed all of them. It makes sense because you don't see any of these other characters in these other movies. Like, well, if they didn't die, how come they didn't show up to do this, this, and this? If they were so badass, but it's like, well, that's why, because they all died. And it's fun. Like, maybe we should give Disney more credit than people tend to do, because like they have the balls to do stuff like this, even though it still seems to problem, because it's not like. It's still Star Wars. Like, I know they expected to make as much as Force Awakens, like as a side movie, but it wasn't like some, you know, roly-poly indie movie neither. Like, it's still Star Wars. Like, they still spent a lot of money doing this, and they wanted to make money from it. And a story basically like these guys, you know, do their mission and no one survives. Like, that's Saving Private Ryan. Like, even that's like that stuff you see in Saving Private Ryan, you wouldn't expect to see that in Star Wars.
Yeah. And all the rumors of the reshoots to make it less like a war movie, if true, what the hell was the first run like?
And I was wondering that too, because I'm like, it wasn't like this was like some happy, like it was an enjoyable movie, and it ended with hope, but it wasn't like it's, oh, they go back together, and it didn't end like a Fast and Furious movie, basically, is how we say. Like, so I wonder, like, if this is what it, like, you bring up a good point. If this is what it was now, then what was it before?
Yeah. Hopefully just as good. But, you know what? Maybe we'll get the extended whatever. But
yeah, we never will, because they don't. It's funny, for whatever reason, Disney doesn't. If it is, it'll be 30 years from now, because Disney doesn't seem to do like extended cut or unrated cut, or they still don't do like 4K releases. I'm so surprisingly, but hey, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was an excellent movie. Like, I thought it was better than Force Awakens too. And like, no disrespect to Force Awakens, but Force Awakens allowed this movie to be better because it paved the way for this to do something different. And like they said, they like, oh, don't worry, it's not gonna be a sequel, so don't worry about that. Somebody asked, it's like, yeah. No, this one and done. They all dead. The story's told.
And which I think is a shame, and I wonder if other filmmakers, you know, that Disney's going to have coming down the line, if they're like, no, I wanted to do something with Cassian. Like, I thought Cassian, as much as we didn't talk about the two leads, I really enjoyed Diego Luna as the captain. He was dirty. He was incredibly flawed, but there was still a charm to him. And I think I'm the only person that actually liked him. I haven't, like, and too many people didn't like him. Didn't like him. I don't know if it was the actor, or if it was the character.
It was the character. You know why? Because he was real, and people aren't used to like real. It's funny. Like, I know Star Wars, people aren't used to like real in Star Wars. Like, everybody's like playing a role. Like, Luke is like the chosen one boy. Han's Mr. Cool, and da da da. And even like the new one, like Poe is like the cool pilot, and yada yada yada. This guy's a flawed guy doing the wrong things for the right reasons, and he's not going on his way to be like, he's going on his way to handle business, and he's like damaged. And you're not used to seeing that. Like, we've been saying, that's been the thing we've been saying the most in Star Wars. We've seen stuff we're not used to seeing in Star Wars movies. If this was like another genre type movie, like if this is a Star Trek, it wouldn't be that big a deal, because you see stuff like that in Star Trek. Star Trek always seem more grown up than Star Wars. This one's like, he's a grown ass man doing war stuff. He just had to be on the quote unquote good guys, and this kind of like makes you uncomfortable, because it's hard room for somebody to just shoot somebody in the back, so because he thinking he won't shut up. It's like, oh, boy, it ain't like Greedo was going to shoot first. It's like, dude was walking away. Dude didn't have a chance to shoot first. It's like, yes, it's hard room for a guy that's supposed to be a good guy but not necessarily likable. Like, he's understandable. He's relatable, but it's not like I want to be him.
That's you
can see yourself being like Poe or Han Solo, Luke, because they cool. You can even see yourself being Darth Vader, cool. Like, would you really want to be Cassian? He seemed like he'd been through it, and like he got to make the hard choices. Like, you can respect the character like him, you necessarily wouldn't want to be him. So I think that's kind of like influenced people's thought process on him.
To wrap up, it was funny being asked about the movie when people didn't see it. Because it was always the rumor is that, you know, the girl in this one is actually Rey's mom, and I'm like, just watch the movie. That's all I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, I'll have to ask Josh when I see him next. I wondered if by saying it like that, if that gave them the idea that, yeah, that rumor is true. It's not true at all. There ain't a chance in hell that that woman is connected in any way.
Yeah, so. And that's that funny story. Like, I know next Star Wars, because everybody's wondering, and you hear all these theories. Like, is Luke? Is somebody? Like, somebody you know? Somebody you don't know? Because it's funny. It's people care. And that's what at least I like about, like, you know, people care because everybody's wondering, asking about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't alive back in, like, by the time I saw the Star Wars movies, like, they had all been out on, like, the movie theaters and stuff. So, I still didn't know, like, Darth Vader was Luke's dad until I saw Empire Strikes Back. Like, somehow that wasn't spoiled. I don't know how that happened. Like, it's different time, different age. I wonder. Like, I know it was a big deal when it happened. I know it dropped. But I wonder, was it a big deal because it was so unexpected? Because how many people wondered, like, who Luke's dad was?
Well, yeah, that's true. As a kid, I saw Empire Strikes Back in the theater, like, a couple times. And from folklore, I think, I don't know if this is true or not, but when they filmed that scene, the actor, whoever, actually said, no, Obi-Wan killed your father. But then when they put it in theaters, it had been dubbed to say, no, I am your father. That's how they kept it a secret, which doesn't explain. Well, I mean, remember, this is also pre-internet, and we only had three national channels, too, besides your, you know, quick local ones. So stuff like this didn't get out.
Yeah.
I think that would be, that's probably the best way or reason that it didn't come out, because I had no idea. And my friends had seen it.
You know what's funny? For all the technology, like, quick thing before we wrap up.
Oh, yeah.
For all the technology that we have and how great it is for us, sometimes I envy back in the day. Because it was a surprise. Like, you didn't know. Yeah. And because it would have probably been, I don't know how difficult it would have been. I'm sure Disney could have did, because, like, we barely knew about the Force stuff in The Force Awakens till The Force Awakens dropped, because they did a good job. Like, J.J. Abrams believes in keeping secrets. So I could just imagine how difficult it would be to, like, to keep that secret in this day and age. Like, it's possible, because you can do it, because, like, we talked about with Fast and Furious, people forgot about Jason Statham, you know, showing up in that movie till he showed up in that movie, because nobody was, even though, like, rumors that came, it wasn't like, oh, you know, I was surprised, and you know how we do. We read IMDb and the internet all the time. So it's possible, but it seems like it's a lot of work to do that.
On that note, let's shift over. a movie that I'm sure can have some spoilers in there. We'll have some, I'm sorry, not spoilers. I guess they could be, but not too many surprises. What was it, Monday? They released the John Wick 2 trailer, to where instead of just looking cool as hell like the first one, this one actually gives us the plot. And John has once again retired, and somebody wants him to do something. He says no. They blow up his house without the dog in it. It was very clear the old lady's next to him, and John gets mad and decides, I'm going to go kill everybody. And he basically says that, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill them all.
and they basically, they use Al Capone's old phone to call in the contract form. It's like, it's just the time. It's funny about the movies, they're like, it's almost like the Batman animated cartoon where they had computers and blimps, but they had jet engines. Like, what time period is it? Like, is it the 30s, the 2030s? Like, John Wick almost had that same feeling where you have technology and stuff and everything like that. You got, you know, Ford Mustangs and everything. But I'm like, if a passenger pigeon showed up, I wouldn't be that surprised in this case.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, we saw the trailer. The trailer was violent as hell. Like, and it wasn't necessarily a Red Band trailer. It was just a trailer. Like, you see violent stuff, but he's just popping folks in the head like it's no big deal. I'm like, wow.
The fact, like, I love, okay, so you, again, not to bring up political stuff, but we live in an age where everyone hates guns, seemingly. And the people who like guns love guns. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground, okay? So this trailer basically is a giant middle finger to everybody. Because what does Lawrence Fishburne say? Somebody get this man a gun. And then, bang, 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 bang. It's just violence the whole way through. It's like a celebration of it.
Yeah,
which,
like,
is what I really thought was funny. Like, all right, they don't give a shit, which they shouldn't. So
yeah, like, I'm kind of ambivalent toward guns. It's kind of like, I don't have one. I know why people like them. Watching John Wick reinforces why people like guns, because, like, it's funny, people don't like admitting it, but they'll know it deep down. Violence is enjoyable when it's not being done to you or you're not doing it. Like, when you get to watch, like, it's, that's why people watch contact sports and football and like that, and like movies like this. Like, it's like ballet, and it's almost like action opera, if it makes sense. Like, they know how to shoot that so well, and it just flows and everything like that. But you realize it's violent. Like, yes, he is shooting people, and they film it where it's like it's getting shot to the beat, and everybody's moving in like artistic way. They're still getting plugged in the head or getting chopped in the throat. And one, you see Common in there is like, are they on the same level? Because Common seemed like the go-to guy now. Like, if you need an assassin to fight your main guy. Who would have guessed it? Like, I would have never guessed in a million years that'd be Common's thing, but Hollywood. And Ruby Rose as a deaf hit person, I wasn't expecting that either. Like, at the end with the sign language thing, I'm like, I'm here for this.
I didn't really get the end when she says, I'll be seeing you, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, was that just a weird edit? Because he's like, well, I'm going to try, or something like. What?
I guess we'll see and find out.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And they've done a good job, like the first one where you know, they do not shortchange women because what's the face in the first one? I can't think of her name. Adrian Palicki. Yeah, like she was basically on his level more or less. Like they was beating the shit out of each other, and they never treated her like, oh, she's just a girl or anything like that. I was like, no, you sleep on her if you want. She dislocated her thumb to kill dude from The Wire to get out the handcuffs,
and
she's the one that killed Willem Dafoe when he got the jump on everybody else. I mean, it didn't end well for her, but no. she had a good run while like. It basically explained the story. It showed how well the action is. Like, you know what? Do what you did the first time. We just gave you more money.
I also like this one because, as you were saying, they're using Al Capone's phone, and then they show, like, the bank, and it's not a hit. It's a, not a contract. The hell was it?
It was something. Oh my God. I don't know if
it's not a contract. What? Because it's very specific. The language is very specific. I remember reading about how the next one's going to help build the world that all these people inhabit. And obviously not planet Earth, but the hitman way. I mean, they got their own money, for Christ's sake. And they have their own hotels, they have all this. So they're going to explain more of this, which I'm all for, because this seems like a fascinating world. But when you go to the violent part, yeah, man. I was pretty surprised seeing like headshots, and the funny thing is, how ridiculous is that when he's surrounded by people, he just pulls a gun out and starts capping everybody, and it's working. It's like successful without you going, ugh, how is he not dead?
You know why it's believed? One, because of the first movie, and two, because Collateral happened. That's the Tom Cruise one where. And you know why one of my favorite movies? Because he's not Superman. He's just more prepared than everybody else. Like,
oh, that's right. With Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, when you get, like, he's just there. As soon as something's out, pull out the gun, boom, boom, keep walking. Like, when you know you're doing something and it's not any flourish or you're not twiddling your thumbs, it's all something I read about Vons. Like, people who are best at Vons, it's like the military does it and sociopaths does it. They do it so much where they only have to. It's like trained so much where you don't have to think about it. You just do it. Like, hesitation is the thing that normally gets people knocked off.
Yeah.
And when you don't have to hesitate and you know exactly what you're doing, you know how things play off and you're calm about it. Like, it's hard being calm in violence because you're used to like fight or flight and being all hyped up and you make mistakes. When you calm and know what you're doing, you're going to get a heads up and all it takes is a second. And it's funny, he's in that room and like everybody stops and like the whole room stops and watches him. And he pulls the gun out and it's on.
Without a second's hesitation, just cap, all headshots.
They know who he is, and they know what he's there for. So
I love the whole kind of the premise of the last one, but different. And he walks into the hotel with the dog. So they're making sure they are not repeating the last movie. Yes, it's kind of similar. But it's not revenge on a dog. It's they blew up his house, which I think it's the same one. So that belonged to him and his wife.
Yeah, it looked like the same one. Like, and it's kind of like, it's the funny thing, and we're going to wrap up soon. They know how dangerous this man is. Like, at least the first one, Yosef didn't know, because if he knew, he'd have killed him. It was like, everybody knows how badass he is, and yet they still kind of like, we got to do something. Knowing it's not going to end well. This one, you're going to blow up the man's house? Mm-hmm. His house, him and his dead wife, you know, probably had together, like that. Like, you, and the dude knows John Wick. Like, they're friends or something like that. And they're not like, what you doing?
Yep.
Like if, you know, with the whole thing, like, if you aim at the king, you best not miss. Like, if you're going to go there, you don't miss. Like, you know how it's going. Like, he's going to show up, and it's going to not end well for you.
Was it? I think it was this one. No, never mind. I can't remember. I don't feel like getting more details wrong. But no, I think this one comes out in February, right?
Yes, it does. Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah, so we're taking the Deadpool slot.
Yeah, that seems good to be, idea. I guess, Deadpool, because it's kind of like, I'm sure it's going to be, I don't know when that 50 Shades Darker movie comes out. I don't know if it comes around the same time.
Yeah, actually, we already did this. Yes, it is the same. Yeah. It's the same weekend.
So it's like, okay, if you don't get dragged, it's probably going to be a double feature. Okay, I'll go with you to see this, but you got to come to me to see that. Because they both couples movies. Almost like, you know, it's going to be a funny dynamic where these are both couples movies. Almost like, we got to see both of them. Let's make a deal. Let's see this one, but you got to come see this with me. Because I think that's what happened with me and my wife. Like, we saw some romantic movie, then we saw Deadpool.
Oh.
So
we that's not our household. We just went and saw Deadpool.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of conversations like that, because that's a good time, because there's going to be some people like, I'm not trying to see no damn 50 Shades Darker, but I will see some John Wick. Like, it may be some cross, it might be like some, you know, cross pollination. Like, the Venn diagram between these two movies will be very fascinating, where it might be some people who actually wanted to see both, and maybe some people that get dragged to see one and the other, and it's going to be people like, I'm just seeing this, or I'm just seeing that. So
I can't wait, though. It's almost like this is the beginning of it in February, mind you, the beginning of movie season.
January.
What was January?
Triple X comes out in January.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that, yeah.
And it's something we just realized before we go, like, I don't know if it was just a nature of timing. Can we talk about Donnie Yen? Ruby Rose is going to be in, like, three big movies in, like, 2.5 months, because she's going to be in Triple X, she's going to be in this, and she's going to be in Resident Evil. And they all come out within, like, the same time frame, more or less.
I forgot there was even going to be a new Resident Evil, actually.
But the last one.
Yeah. So that they can probably reboot it and make it more like the video games, which I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not, considering how Assassin's Creed is being handled. But
you know what? I want to see that, because it just seems like it's so, you know, the funny thing, like, from the reviews I read, it's kind of like it's a bad movie, but it's like batshit enjoyable, because it's kind of like they played it serious. And there's enough good actors in it where I just want to see out of curiosity.
It's funny with a movie with that many actors, like, how it could be bad, but
because you know what it is, and we can wrap it up. You know why it's hard doing a video game movie? Because normally video games don't lend themselves to story movies, and the ones that have storytelling is like, if it's, most of them are trash. Most of the time, the stories are like juvenile trash, and then the ones that good is like, if it's good, I don't need to see them. Like, you think about the movies where it might be one, like Uncharted, The Last of Us, maybe Metal Gear Solid. Like, I don't see how you could do a movie as good as the game story.
Right.
So why bother? Like, Tomb Raider, I'm curious to see, like, because they were okay, like, because Angelina
Jolie really
great in it. And now they're going to reboot it and have Alicia Vikander do that, because it's kind of like, that's one where it's a way to do it, but you got to get the tone right. Either you got to embrace it all the way. And I think this one's like, they didn't run from the story. It's just like, if you're going to do Assassin's Creed, nix the present stuff. Because even the games now, like, doing more and more past stuff. Like, keep it in the past. And, like, have a flashback here and there. That's how you make it work. Like, nobody want to see the boring present stuff. And the storyline is just so, I mean, you really want to see a guy that's in a prison, he floating around with, like, a robotic arm or in a pool and stuff. I'm like, even the video game part is boring. Like, I don't want to see that. I want to see, like, the past stuff.
But see, I've never played the games. So I think for me, it maybe be all right. You know, going fresh, I don't know anything about it, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see, and we'll talk about it next week. We are doing a show next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my schedule permits that.
All right.
So
you're actually going to get a double dose of us next week, because Kevin and Chris can't do Stunt Granny audio. So you're going to hear our beautiful voices talking wrestling. If you've subscribed to everything, like I routinely say, we'll have to talk about Lucha, because we didn't get a chance this week. Yes, that is a wrestling show and an entertainment show. So, or a TV show, I should say. So, because we got to talk about Big Snake Guys and yet another man-on-woman match. But, so we're doing Stunt Granny. That'll be Tuesday-ish. You know, like usual, Wednesday for this one. Subscribe to everything. It's called Stunt Granny. And I'm going to make it quick because we've been doing this a while. So take care, everyone. Yeah. And get you next time.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and the Force is with us because we are one with the Force. We are out.
Check off.